Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Well, hello, and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. My name is Blue. Alongside me is Joe Grande.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Thank you guys for listening to the podcast, Cannabis Talk 101. Make sure you check out our website, Cannabis Talk 101, as we are the world's number one source for everything cannabis.
Yes!
And make sure you call us up anytime, 1-800-420-1980. And go check out our Instagram pages for daily news and so much more at Cannabis Talk 101. My man Blue is at one Christopher Wright.
Hello.
And I am at Joe Grande 52. And I hope you guys are ready for the Kush Doc Festival by the people for the people. Saturday, April 9th at the Adelanto Stadium, an event center located at 12,000 Stadium Way, Adelanto, California, 92301. This event is 21 and over with a valid ID. Free general admission, but of course they got that VIP player option for you guys. For tickets and more information, head to the website kushdoc.life. Come out and hang out with us at Kush Doc.
Yes.
Now, you guys, this show right here, these dudes right here are legends, and I can't believe my headphones aren't even working so I can hear myself introducing because I'm borderline disappointed that what a great air check these guys did around here. I tell you,
they didn't do one. They didn't
exactly.
Do it.
Hey, does this headset work, guys?
The funny, funny thing is, I didn't recognize the headset wasn't working. I thought it was tied up on your laptop, and I thought it was your fault.
It's dead like my parents.
Okay, man. Hello.
Bottom line, these guys are legends in the radio game. You might have heard their names, Eric and Nick V, a.k.a. the Baker Boys in Los Angeles, Miami, Boston, Dallas, San Francisco, Kansas City, San Diego, Orlando, Portland, Oregon. I mean, these dudes are nationwide, worldwide, of course, because they got the Baker Boys Production, Inc. It's knocked out more mics than Social Security, boy. I tell you right now, these boys right here are like Apollo and Rocky. They go back and forth with it. I love them like four flats. They're down like that. These dudes are cool. So cool. They discovered cats like Big Boy, DJ E-Man, Tito 105.9, and all these cats
Tito
that I worked with at Power 106 here in Los Angeles and abroad. So when I look at some players, like, oh, my God, these dudes help create dudes that I worked with. The funny thing is we never worked together but crossed paths many times. They left Power in 99. I came in late 99. These dudes are the original DJs out of Bakersfield, California.
Yeah.
If you're listening to us all over the world, it's a little small armpit city in Cali where you go, where does some real talent come from? From
Bakersfield.
The cuts. You know what I mean? Right there where they're growing agriculture. Before cracking that number two market in the country, Los Angeles, currently they have a daily Twitch radio show. Right here, you see the sticker. It's official Baker Boys Daily.
Yeah.
They're doing their thing there. And you could also get on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/TheBakerBoys.
Yeah.
TheBakerBoys. That's the boys. And you could hear them on 93.5 K-Day with that hip-hop master mix Friday, 7 p.m. to midnight. Follow them on Instagram at TheBakerBoys. Welcome to the show, you guys, Eric and Nick V.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for having us.
You know, it's funny, too, because even writing that and doing that research for you guys, like, it was an honor for me, really, because I'm sure you guys can look at, I don't even know who it would be, Frank fucking, or maybe even it's the quack guy, como se llama?
Rick Dees.
You may look at Rick Dees as like right before you guys got there, Kiss.
Right.
And my point is you guys are at Power right before I got there, right? So we all been in the game. We've never sat down and even shared a mic together.
No.
Which
not
is
yet.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. And well, not today.
And my point to that is folks listening, I was excited. Because I can't wait to hear the story. And I was telling you guys off there. I was telling you, my connection to you guys more was your brother. Yeah. May he rest in peace.
Frank.
And I love Frank to death. And Frank and I were G's and dog. And I'm sure everybody tells you guys that because your fucking brother
was like. Frank didn't like everybody, so you're lucky.
Oh, really?
No.
Are you serious? I didn't know this about Frank. Hold on. Tell me that. What do you mean?
Frank was a bulldog, man. To those who don't know, if you got in Frank's way, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
He will let you know.
100%.
I didn't know him like that. Thank God I was his little brother. You know what I mean? But I can see him, you know, doing things.
So then
things.
I can see that because he's one of those recognize a real Don when you see one.
There
you know
it
what
is.
I'm saying? That's probably why, because I see it in him too, and we got along so well. And I'd go to the record pool that you guys still have, that building over there off
Cali Kings.
Kings. And not only that, it really fits because, why? Because for those who don't know, Baker Boys family, what they were doing, they're pushing out records and getting them played.
Real
and,
record
and,
pools.
And when this shit, when your family was doing back in the days, cats have no idea about that hustle. Meaning, people nowadays, you want to become a big famous artist or something, you got IG, you got Twitch that you guys are on daily, you got fucking Facebook. We didn't have that back in the day, and your brother ran the Los Angeles biggest record pool, that's still the record pool there, but everything's digital now.
Yeah.
But my point is, your brother did that and laid that down on top of you guys were already doing the mornings before, so
hard.
The family legacy was there, and then boom, you guys cross over and doing this other arm of entertainment in that radio world, which is the distribution for the record pool. Which, how did that even come about?
Frank V, man. He was like, I'm done with construction. I need to leave. You know, he was working with our father and they just butt heads, you know, and it was just time for him to do something new. We were in Los Angeles and he came to me and he's like, you know, can I move?
Hold
on. So they came from Bakersfield to do that out here?
Frank came from Bakersfield. Yeah.
Well, he was in Roseman at the time. He was working with my dad together in construction, but he was just done. He was just tired. He's like, I need to do something else.
What a dope thing, because that was a great time. I had a lot of great times there. I lost my virginity at that spot.
Well, no, but explain what a record pool is for those that are listening that don't know what they are, because,
So back in the day, before digital, before downloads, MP3s and all that stuff, there was a record pool. What would happen is the record labels would send boxes of records to the pool, and then you would equally split it among the DJs that are part of the record pool. So every 2 weeks, if you're a DJ, you pay your monthly dues, and every 2 weeks you come to get a box of the newest shit, the newest records that are out there.
Promo copies.
Promo copies.
Sure. With not even things on it, just this blank label,
with
a letter on
it. A white label that says Quick, and it's like a new DJ Quick or whatever.
Motherfuckers are writing on Sharpies on their stuff. So I would loved it, dude. It was so cool.
I remember it.
It was like watching the movie, not Beat Street, but Breaking and all those things. When you see those, that's what it was here.
Well, it was trying to, I was trying to rap, so I was trying to get in the record pools.
What was your rap name?
Blue from the Imperial Assassins.
Okay.
You remember his group that shut down the 101 freeway? Remember that group? That was his band.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I shut down the 101 freeway in the middle of rush hour traffic, ended up getting arrested, and 63 most Googled in the world that day.
No way.
Yeah, ended up on the Grammys top 10 biggest publicity stunts. Still holding my position at number 7 for
Go Blue. It's official.
It's official. With a whistle.
And it's crazy because you do the record pool like that, and now when you explain it like that, it takes people so much time to really get something popping, because when you become a record pool rep, so to speak, and back then, Blue, just to give you an idea who there was a lot of payola going on back then as well, and that's a big deal, which payola, folks, is when you pay even the record label or the record pool or the DJs to go pay that record. Did it happen? Yeah, on really big ones. If you ever heard a song that sucked, then that was the record song that really got pushed that just sucked.
A lot. They put a lot of money into that sucky ass record.
So that payola goes to that sucky song that really didn't pop and that artist never really came back again. But, you know, my point is behind the record pool that they had, it was the biggest DJs that are still today in this world, meaning your DJ Vices were there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your E-Mans were there that you guys found. Your Eric V. I mean, AM, that's you got with DJ the, AMs. The
Adam 12, the Beat Junkies.
Felly Fell.
Mr. Chock. Mr. Minus.
Heavy Hitter.
Dog, all those guys that I worked with too, and we all worked with. Yeah. And so my point is when I go to parties there too, I would trip because that's where it all popped. Meaning, if you gave it to one of those DJs or one of these other DJs that's working at Florentine Gardens in Los Angeles back in the days, why Florentine Gardens is such a big spot? For a record pool, for those who don't realize, because it's 18 and overs and some parties, it's all ages. So now you're getting those little kids to call the radio station, and that's the way the game worked.
Yeah.
You wanted to get to that DJ that was at Florentine Gardens to get to that little kid to call the radio station and get it because that's the way the game used to work back in the
day. I remember calling the stations, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's up, guys?
People used to think that game that I just explained is your what you call a download today.
Yeah.
Because people would call in and request it, but one, and then here's the coldest part at the radio station. They'd have phone ops that would go to the program director, music director, say 30 people called for that new Stevie B song. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
It's blowing up on the phones. It's blowing up on the phones.
This is what's blowing up on the phones.
But also, hold on, they could pay for that as well.
Yeah.
Hey. And you pay cash to do that too.
You pay your girls cash call up and request. Yeah. Call up and request.
That was the game, dog. I remember hearing artists do that all day. I've seen them doing it.
We used to get 20 people to call in, you know, just on the, with no money, we'd be on the hood like, yo, call up right now. Yeah. And that was the roll call. Yep. You guys remember the roll call?
What do you mean? These guys did that. This is them. Well, let's back up.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just jumping into the shit.
Take me to Bakersfield and let's go early days. Yeah. Was it early, like throwing parties at the house and DJing there in high school? Or when does it all start for the quote?
Yeah, how does it?
How does the Baker Boys get the name?
I'll start with this. So basically, you know, our brother Frank, he used to party a lot. He used to be a partier.
Oh, I know that.
He has a lot of parties. So he'd be out, and our parents said, you know what? If he's going to be partying, we may as well let him party at home. So they let him throw house parties at our house. That's what happened.
And my parents did the same thing with us. Yeah. So that's what's so funny when you say that.
I did too.
So he's not on the streets. If he's going to get drunk or anything or whatever, he's going to be home. He's going to be safe.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about him. So that's what happened. And Nick would sneak downstairs at 12 years old. How old were you? Nine.
He was like nine years old.
Yeah. So he'd sneak downstairs, end up dancing with some girls like three times his size.
She was beautiful.
And she was probably only 5 foot tall at that. He said she was beautiful.
Exactly.
And so, you know, he's drinking beer and having a good time. And they'd always tell him to go back upstairs. But then he became enamored with the DJ. They would hire a DJ. I think it was Herman, right? It was either Herman or Moses A. One of the two DJs that my brother knew. They would hire the DJ. The house party would be at the house. My brother would be safe at home. And so we grew up listening to Rick James, Cameo, Lakeside, Michael Jackson, Prince, all the dope shit, like everything hot.
All those love, yeah.
That's what we grew up listening
Double to. Double Dutch Bus, that's
cool. Everything, yeah. All that stuff. So the house parties, you know, from there it went to a teen nightclub. So we started
at our house.
No.
At a location.
We had a location.
So in Bakersfield.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This was a family-owned thing called Vidal's. It was our last name.
Oh.
So there was a place called the
Sassoon.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, why does it sound so familiar?
Exactly. Sassoon.
There was a place called the Bakersfield Inn, which was an iconic place off of Chester Avenue in Bakersfield, California.
Right about a lot of murders.
Or Union Avenue. I'm sorry, where all the hookers were.
Where all the hookers were on Union Avenue as well.
Yeah. There's a hooker story,
well, now
too.
Now they're right out front here, so you know what I'm saying? Don't trip.
Don't we all? I got a couple hooker stories. No, your brother, too.
There's a funny hooker story with Nick V. We'll tell that one later. Anyway, so the teen nightclub became a family-run business. At that time, my dad was out of construction. You know, the economy went bad. He lost his construction company, and we moved to a building and started Vidal's. He started Vidal's. So we were there every week working. You know, Nick.
Is it just you three? You three boys?
It was. No, we have an older sister as well.
Older sister.
Yeah,
older than your brother?
Zena. No, okay. She's younger than. So it was Frank, Zena, me, then Nick.
Okay.
So Vidal's came. It was a teen nightclub in Bakersfield. There is nothing to do in Bakersfield. still.
Well, you can Cal-tip.
1984. Yeah, I mean, this is 1984.
So
Lookout Weekend, Depeche Mode.
Lookout Weekend.
Yeah. I mean, you can go to the Bulldog territory and go to a Fresno State game, maybe. Yeah, you know,
I mean,
travel.
If you really want to. Yeah, you could.
Oh, that's what I said. There's only that.
Yeah, there's not a lot to do. Anyway, so.
Cruise the Shaw.
The teen nightclub started, and Nick was working the lights at the time, and one of the guys who used to get hired to do the house parties was hired as the resident DJ every day, every weekend. So Moses A would play, you know, on Friday and Saturday. And so you could take over from here. I'm talking
Tour de France, Tour de France.
Yeah, so Moses was dope, man. He had the cigarettes. He had the crowd rocking. He had the drink. And he had a girl on each side of him. Rocking the party.
He was your hero.
He was my hero. Much, immediately.
I mean, you just described my hero.
How could I not be enamored with this man?
You got everything I want, player.
Okay. I'm on the lights, mind you. I'm just looking back like, yeah, okay. Uh-huh. I'm only going to be here for
one
so
day.
Long.
One day.
Yeah. So and then I got the fog. So I was the fog dude, too. So I would run around. I was just a kid, 11 years old, running around with the fog, doing the lights.
This is where the game starts, so, folks.
And then Moses, you know, he shuts down for the night. And everybody goes home except for the family. And I was like, how do I turn this on? The turntables.
Was it a Technique 1200?
No, they were Denon's.
Denon's back then. Okay.
Denon's back then. So I
couldn't
figured,
afford the Techniques. That's what that means.
they were actually more expensive than the Techniques at the time.
Denon's were more expensive.
Wow.
Yeah, at that time. So, but Techniques, of course, were always the standard and still is. Yeah. But anyway, I turned on the turntables. I figured out some stuff. I started playing records because I was already messing around with music at the house, and there was always records at the house. I remember there were some records that I tried to learn how to scratch, but I didn't know how to scratch. So I took the needle and went this way.
Ooh,
well,
he really scratched it.
Yeah, you scratched it.
He scratched it for real.
That's like the real player scratch.
Yeah.
It ain't working the same.
Anyway, Moses found out that I was trying to play with his turntables, and he didn't like that. And he complained to our father. And our father said, you know, whatever. He didn't take it too serious. After the third or fourth time, Moses got smart and started taking his power cord away so I couldn't turn his shit on.
Yeah.
So being the Mexican that I am.
You got a power cord.
Well, I just split, you know, any old extension cord.
Yeah.
And I just spliced it and I put it up there and I was rocking again on the turntable. So he found I was an idiot. I shouldn't have left my evidence there.
Isn't it cold when you figure out, damn, I see how he caught me?
Yeah.
He left it there.
He found out. He took it to my dad. He's like, your son is playing with this equipment. They
it's
are
expensive
not,
equipment. It's not a toy.
Blah, it's real, blah, though. Yeah.
And he was right.
Everything we'd say now to a kid.
Same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not mad at him because he's right.
Yeah.
Eventually, my dad got really pissed at him. He said, you know what? You're fired. I'm going to buy equipment for my son. He's going to be the DJ.
It was just like that.
And then it was like, son, you better know what you're doing now.
No,
he didn't know. He didn't care. No, he went. We
he
came
made,
to LA.
Forced him to learn.
He bought equipment. We bought records, and he went back. He became the DJ, and I got promoted to light man. So he lost his job as a light man. Now he's the DJ, and I'm the light man. So he was an asshole to me. And he'd be like, shut up, light man. Like, he'd try to belittle me. Like, go back to the light.
Hey, if you're lucky, I'll let you hit the fog button.
Right, right.
If you're lucky.
Exactly. Yeah, so.
Because you got to step up to
so
fog.
So Nick V had a Kanye complex back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I can see it. I can see it.
The Kanye.
And I heard about that, too, through the grapevine.
Yeah.
Man.
And Nick V is the more egotistical of the two of us.
Of course, yeah. When I seen him, he actually said, only look at my left eye, Joe.
Right. Not direct.
We haven't met long enough for you to look at my right eye. You know what I mean? You're on the left side of me.
No direct eye contact for more than 3 seconds.
And the coldest part is I respect it. I was like, no problem, Nick. It's cool.
Okay. Legends.
We brought our nephew here so he could laser point your eye, bro.
Exactly. Well, that's what, not only that, he was behind him. He goes. Yeah. He pointed. He goes, this side. And I was like, well, the other one's fucking glass and wandering. I didn't know what to do. So you guys are in Bakersfield. Nick's now DJing. You're the light
the head
guy.
DJ. Yeah.
It's just fucking Nick and Eric. When does... Baker Boys come about.
Boys come about when Nick was DJing for Lighter Shade of Brown.
Ooh, so on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, how did that happen first? You know what I'm saying? We can't go to.
Hey, first off, I love.
Let's
those
talk
brothers.
About Nick some more.
actually, this was from our dad. Lighter Shade of Brown was doing a show in. Was that from that? How did you meet Lighter Shade of Brown again? I don't remember.
We brought them to Bakersfield for a show.
Yeah, we hired them to come do a show.
The old nice. Game. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, the nightclub was done by then, so we were doing mobile parties.
Yeah.
So we would do the Armory.
At outside event places or whatever.
Yes.
Outside, indoor, whatever.
Whatever. Just
we had brought Stevie B out. We brought Exposé.
Debbie Deb.
Flock of Seagulls.
Come on, man.
Debbie Deb.
Whistle.
Yeah, we were promoting concerts.
And this is true. Yeah. We love to do the things that you're not supposed to do.
We brought a lot of shows to Bakersfield. Yeah. A lot of shows.
Connie, I remember Connie came as well.
Debbie Debs.
Yeah,
Debbie,
all that shit. Yeah.
Tony G.
Yeah, Tony G.
Julio G.
Him and Julio came down a lot for us.
Shout out to Julio and Tony, man.
So anyway, we brought a lot of Shader Brown. It was like 1990 or some shit like that. And we met them. We hung out. I was cutting up on stage and like, hey, you're good. Do you want to come on tour with us? And I was too young, Eric, so Eric had to come.
I was the chaperone.
He was the chaperone.
Yeah.
He elevated from the light man to DJ. No, anyway.
To wiping your ass on stage.
Yeah, so.
Stop.
I had to keep track of him. You know what I mean?
Go ahead, little
brother.
Make
sure he's okay.
You can do it,
me. So anyway, we get a show back to Bakersfield. It's Lighter Shader Brown. We're performing at Bakersfield College.
Yeah.
And at KKXX. By this time, we've been trying to get on the radio station in Bakersfield since 1988. We skipped a whole fucking era, guys.
Yeah.
1988 is when we get on the radio in Bakersfield, California, a la K-Day. We did 1315 AM KLYD.
Yeah.
So we were trying to emulate what K-Day was doing here in Los Angeles in Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that. We blew that shit the fuck up.
Yeah.
So, move ahead. We got off the radio again, trying to get back on the radio. It didn't work. Started producing music with Kid Frost. We did three songs on his first album.
Through Tony G.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the relationship with Lighter Shader Brown. So then, now I'm DJing. We're back in Bakersfield, and we can't get on the radio. But there's a new program director at KKXX, Steve Wall. And he's backstage with our father, rest in power, Frank. And my dad goes to him and says, these are my kids on the stage right there, and they want to do a mix show.
Mix show on radio.
On radio. He's like, well, here's my card. Call me on Tuesday. Call me on Monday. Whatever. Eric V.
Yeah, I was like, this guy's full of shit. Like, I've already been shot down from that plane a couple times from the last program director. He's not going to take my call, blah, blah. He took the call. We met, and he ended up taking a chance on us and putting us on the air. And we put on the air on, I think we started on a Saturday night or whatever, a Saturday night mix show. We had like a 53 share, bro.
In Bakersfield.
We had like a 53
and
share.
For those who don't know, so like this is what's crazy about when you say a 53 share. Like, I understand that wholeheartedly because I come from the share radio time period, but I'm trying to make these analogies so you guys can hear it. And at one point, we had a double-digit share, and just a double-digit share is huge in San Francisco with the Doghouse.
Yeah.
So when you say 53, that was a higher, granted, it's Bakersfield. That means, folks, that they are fucking dominating the market at 53%, and especially back then, the way they did it, to hear that number, 53,
share,
gives me I'm like, I don't care what market it is. I don't give a fuck if it's fucking two people and you got 53% of it, whatever. It's fucking major, which then again explains why you guys made that big splash from, because which is funny, a Bakersfield is a very, very small market. And then to get called up by the number two market in the country, Los Angeles, which is the jump you guys made, which now even makes more sense to me.
Yeah, well,
which I didn't get.
It wasn't even based on that, though.
Well, no, it has to be from the big programming going, look at these guys, what they're doing.
No, they were trying to keep us. They were trying to keep us. They made us music directors. We were music directors. Steve Wall in Bakersfield.
But I'm saying every other station's got to be looking at you.
They didn't know about us. They actually figured out, found us through Dave Morales, who was the midday guy at Power 106. We were in L.A. working on production. Our studio session got canceled, so we go to visit our friend Bruce Reiner at Profile Records. And we were like, hey, we're in town. We got nothing to do. He's like, you guys want to go to dinner? Yeah, we'll go to dinner. So later that night, we're sitting at Antonio's on Melrose, Mexican spot, and it's us, Bruce Reiner, Harold Austin, who just got the music director job at The Beat, and also Dave Morales, the midday guy at Power. Yeah, so, you know, Nick hits the, they're getting drunk, fucking hits the table. This time next year, we'll be working at Power 106. Everybody looks at each other and just starts laughing out. We're just laughing because they're so drunk and they're just, where did this come from?
What is Nick V doing over there yapping about?
Yeah, this time next year, we'll be at Power 106. That's what he said.
You called me Kanye, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. So later that night, we go outside and Dave Morales is like, you know, you maybe think I'm drunk as hell, and I am, but... You know, you guys would be perfect. You guys will be perfect for this hip hop show we're trying to start. We're trying to start a Friday night hip hop show. They knew that that format they were doing was dying, and they needed to go in a different direction.
Dance party shit. Yeah, back in the day they were doing this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So the Dance Now stuff in the 80s and late 80s.
The Frank Lozano.
Yeah. So.
Which I love Frank too.
Yeah, Frank's the homie, of course. So
he's out there saving lives now, working with the church and stuff, and I love him.
Long story short, so you know, he said get a demo tape to us. We got a demo tape to him. I mean, and a couple weeks later, we met at the Gavin in San Francisco, and we left the tape for him in his bag because he was drunk again.
And so, wow, you just took me back when you said the Gavin.
Leave Dave alone.
He likes to drink. He likes to party. So anyway, so we left it to him, and probably, I don't know, a couple weeks later, he hit us up, and he's like, hey, man, I gave the tape to Rick Cummings.
Ooh.
And he's like, he wants to meet with you guys.
Rick Cummings, you guys, for those who don't know, runs a company by the name of MS Communications. And MS Communications is this one station now called Hot 97 in New York. If you ever thought of hip hop or thought of, you know, hip hop, well, the Hot 97 is the fucking big hip hop in New York.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Big. So he
and
said,
Power at the time too, but they no longer own Power. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who he
so
is
he's like, he wanted to meet with you guys. All right, cool. We came to LA on a Wednesday. And I always say this every time, like when we walked in that building, I told Nick, I said, if something happens, cool. If nothing happens, fine.
Cool.
We just go in there and be us. And so we had a meeting with him. He's like, I don't know what it is. There's something here on this cassette. I hear it. I feel it. If something's telling me that I need to do something with you guys. I don't know what it is, but you know, you guys are interested in this.
And Rick
Friday
Cummings
night.
Is the strangest talent finding motherfucker that you've, because he doesn't fit the look. I don't know what that look is, but he just doesn't fit a look that you would think that guy finds the biggest talent in the world for hip hop.
We call him Buckshot Shorty. That's our name.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, dog, we see him at Big Boy's thing, and I go to Blue. I go, Blue, you know who that guy is? He goes, no. I go, let me tell you who that man is right
he's
there.
He's like,
I go,
this
I go, you
big,
see
bro.
That fucking man walking and limping away? Yeah. I go, that's the man who fucking hired Sway. That's the man who hired fucking the Big Morning Show out there. That's
he came up and gave Joe a big hug and shit, and right there talking.
You don't even know. Who that
and
man
and
is.
Literally, yeah. I mean, he came up. He's like at Joe's waistline, but he's
little
just
dude.
The coolest dude ever, though, man. He's vibing.
So he's telling you guys all this great stuff. Like, are there something on this tape?
Yeah, I got to do something with you guys. Yeah. And he's like, you guys want to do this job, you know, this Friday night thing? You want to start, you know, 2 hours? I'm like, well, when do you want us to start? This was a Wednesday we meet with him. He said Friday.
Friday night,
two days.
My chonis are back home in Bakersfield?
In 2 days. In 2 days.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, well, where are we going to mix at? Oh, you pre-record your mix and you send in, you submit your tape. No, we don't do that. We do live. We're bringing our shit. We're bringing our turntables. We're bringing our records. We're doing live. They don't have a mix room, mind you. This is pre-mix rooms, pre-DJs on the radio live shit. We convert the newsroom where they do the traffic in the morning into a mix room, a makeshift mix room.
To think that you guys are the ones that started that shit. I had a funny feeling, dog. I had a funny feeling. I didn't know that. I had a funny feeling, though. Keep going, though,
That's
please.
What it was. Let's go
I believe you.
Yeah,
keep
so going. We hustled back to Bakersfield, put together a bunch of production pieces for it, and two days later, we're on the air in L.A.
Wow.
On Friday nights. And in 1 month, no, 3 months, he's like, man, you know, my other jocks are coming to me and be like, yo, these guys are different. Like, there's something, I don't know what it is about them. They sounded, he's like, when my staff comes to me, and you know, radio people are competitive. They don't want to share the light to any, they ain't going to, but also at the same time, if somebody's better than you got to step out the way because you already know what's going to happen.
We all know the game.
You know what I mean? So he said, the staff is coming to me.
That's why DJs don't take days off. That's why on-air talents, they scared to take vacations.
Round the clock.
Because somebody comes in and does a better show than you, then you're gone.
That's what happens.
Mix better than you, you're gone.
Yep.
That quick.
Yep. So, the staff was telling him, and he's like, when my staff tells me there's something there, I want to look into this more. So we started doing overnights. We did overnights for like a month or two. I think it was a month, right? A month, and he was like, we need to put you guys on at nights. He's like, you got to go against Poor Man from K-Rock.
We love Poor Man.
Poor Man.
Poor Man.
We love Poor Man. We were, hey, fun Poor part is, man, just real quick, when we left the station that we just left to go to iHeart, Poor Man was our morning show, and they were asking us, do you guys want to do the morning show? The morning show, we were already doing a 6 p.m. show, so it's kind of like traffic jam. We were in that traffic jam, so we were just kind of like, we're good. We're already feeling ourselves right there, and they're like, well, do you guys want to run this morning show? And then Poor Man came in, and so he started running the morning show recently. This is just recently.
Right before we did
five years ago, recently. But next to Cannabis Talk 101. Let's go to break. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101, the first and only complete growing system for cannabis that optimizes all phases of the vegetative and bloom cycles to bring your crops to their true genetic potential. Discover more at advancednutrients.com. And shout out to Big Mike for giving me a call on my birthday. Appreciate it.
What up, Mike?
all that good stuff. Speaking of shout outs, the diamond guy, look at my diamond guy got me. This
Someone got you that?
Yeah.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
My boy Chris let me see it again. Let me see it. Let me get closer.
It's hard to get that off right there. We got the Baker Boys in the building. Eric and Nick B. You guys are going down. You're basically at Power 106 now doing a mix show live. You're the first ones to crack that live mixing, which is even funnier because I remember back in the day thinking of hearing you guys become the Baker Boys mixing on the nights, and I'm already working radio in San Francisco doing mornings with the Doghouse, and we have two cats come to Southern California by the name of DJ Main and Double Barrel Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
They came back to San Francisco, and they then became the Flavor Boys.
Yeah.
Which was fucking crazy because I was like, am I a Flavor Boy? Are you a Flavor Boy? And they started doing this shit that I was like, wait a minute.
I've heard this song before.
You know what I mean? I went, wait a minute. And here's the coldest part. I just hit Maine the other day to invite him to my 50th because, you know, Maine and Double Barrel Daryl, I worked with them, obviously, so I love them. But my point to that story is, I always busted their balls going, hey, players. I don't even know these cats, but, you know, just off some love, like some Latino dudes doing it in L.A. I was, like, off just point, like, just, like, the only reason why I was a Dodger fan because fucking Fernando was on the team. Only reason why I was a Flavor Boy fan because two Latin dudes. I'm not going to lie.
I don't even remember the Flavor Boys, though.
Oh, they're the Bay Area. That's what I'm saying. You may not.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I don't remember Flavor Boys.
Well, in the Bay, they were popping, so don't get it twisted.
Yeah. No, I'm not mad.
They were popping. Hence, right? They knew who, I just said their real names, and they knew who they were.
Yeah, so my point is,
in the radio game, they had a big name, and they did a big weekend show. Because they were Bay Area, they could have been syndicated out there and dominated as well, in my opinion, but they didn't get that love from the Michael Martins, who Michael Martin, once again, was a DJ probably right before your guys' era out here at Kiss FM. So Michael Martin was that transition where Michael Martin was a DJ on air with the Rick Deezes and all these. But they didn't spin live. Michael Martin also turned in their
pre-recorded.
Yeah. So they were the first. Sure. That's what I'm saying is even
you know
all
his
these
DJ
legendary
name, though.
Eminem.
There you go.
Eminem, DJ Eminem.
Eminem. Yes.
Dog, Michael Martin, and Michael Martin's a big player in the game.
Well,
yeah.
A lot of people don't realize.
A lot of people don't realize
that DJs are so involved in making the world's trends. That, you know, they forget
a
that
a lot of these DJs are huge in companies now that are the trendsetters.
Yeah, no, it's like radio, television, you know, all these different these things. And when it comes through, like, you don't realize it, but like, okay, you guys had this huge fucking, you know, input on influence on people's lives. So the music that you played, the music that and the things that you
said, they
made
people stars.
You made people stars, and you help people grow. And not only that, the streets have reacted a certain way to that as well. I mean, you know, and you know, I know it in a sense where, you know, I found Joe. You know what I mean? Look at me. I found him. I'm just playing.
It is a funny find, though. It was a random
It was a funny find, really. He found me, really. He popped
We found each other because literally I retired. And so much part of your story, you guys, is so ironic is my first call was from Rick Cummings.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You know what I mean? It's just like funny when I hear you guys share without sharing my full story, but very similar.
Yeah.
I was the baby of the family too, as I hear you getting into music like that. I too, similar background in my dad. I remember though too, I just told somebody the story the other day. At a party at my house, we had a party, same way with your older brother.
Yeah.
My parents used to do us too like that.
Yeah.
And we're DJing a party, and I remember my dad going, oh, mijo, you guys are playing that hip-hop stuff. That's so cute. It's going to fucking work. It's going to phase out. Right. I never forget. And so, like, when I tell people, like, when we had this party on Saturday, I go, you guys, I've been doing this for years. You know who used to DJ my house parties? Jazzy Jim.
Wow, yeah.
You know Jazzy Jim.
Yeah, we know Jim.
Dude, Jim did a pool from the Bay Area. So Jim, who's Gary Archer's brother, who Gary Archer still runs a pool.
Yeah,
yep.
So you know Gary. Still
so my point is, I hit Gary up to come to my party. These guys are major record pool guys and major DJs. But my point is, Jim used to DJ parties at my house before we were in radio.
Mm-hmm.
When we were, just like you guys were up at the Bakersfield, I was in San Jose doing the same fucking thing.
Yeah. So say, funny story, you might have been at the San Jose show of Stevie B. Once we brought him to Bakersfield, he's like, hey, I want you guys to come on with me a couple of dates. Salinas, San Jose. He took us to San Jose with him, Stevie did.
Hot 97.7. Did you guys come to my station? That was that?
I don't know if it might have been. But Jazzy Jim was set up when we got to the Diamond, and he was there with his 808 drum machine. That's when we met Jazzy Jim in 88.
Yeah.
Dog. Jazzy Jim's been doing it forever, and like you said before, he did. He's DJing at my house parties, and he's just an OG. And I knew you guys would know
house parties.
You know what I mean? Because it's like those. we walk those same lives. And it's funny because as I said that to somebody, I go, and meanwhile, I'm doing that walk in San Jose. Blue's doing the same walk here in LA. So we've been doing parties, been doing things. He's done started bands. He's been in this rapping game. Yeah. I've been with these rappers. I'm doing this thing. And it's funny like, how we're like, this is all meant to
be. I always tell people, like, you don't just, like, you know, we could show up to events, you know, right now and just, you show up and then either security, stagehand, somebody recognize you. They're like, yo, like, that's
the real job.
Like,
the
watch
real
out.
G's.
Like, he's cool. Like, there he is. Back up, like, let him through. And you don't get that unless you've been out here. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to put your fucking time in. Yeah. And it's hard for DJs and artists because they come out, like, they might have a badass record, but they're, and in their mind, they're already recognized, but they got to pay their dues amongst so many different people. And it's just even getting past security, like, you know what I'm saying, to get on stage. Totally. You know what I'm saying? Even, you know, I mean, give us one of those times where someone didn't let you on stage and you had a gig, because it's happened, right?
I'll tell you, I challenged my inner Kanye one time with the security guard. I'm walking up to this club. We're about to DJ, and I'm walking with my baseball hat on. He's like, you need to take your baseball hat back. You're not going to get in. And I said, oh, really? Really?
Yeah, right.
Are you sure? Yeah. Are you sure about that? I walk up to the front. I said, yeah, I'm DJing. And basically, I kind of put him in his place, and I felt like an asshole afterwards because that's not usually me.
Right.
I don't usually do shit like that. I'd be like, hey, man, I'm DJing. You know what I mean? This is my thing. Like, they're going to let me in.
It's hard, though, to always stay righteous.
No, but I try. I do my best to do that. Not
I mean, Will Smith just lost it finally. Hey. You could have done it, too. You know what I mean?
Do you blame him?
What about Kanye over there?
I mean, there's only one person to blame. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I blame him.
She's been dragging him in the gutter forever, so.
She can't do table talking. Yeah, exactly.
He got tired. He couldn't.
Let's talk about other people. Let's talk about ourselves.
Exactly. There we go. There we go. And it's funny. Now, let's get to you guys doing that nights, and let's get to... From doing the nights, where do you guys get the morning plug? Does Rick do that? Because Jimmy Steele's not there yet.
No,
as the program director.
It started or ended with Poor Man. So he challenged us. He said, we need you to come up.
Rick
Cummings challenged us to come up with a benchmark. And what is a benchmark, right?
Of course. It's going green, making waves. Your benchmarks are the show. Yeah. Your high five.
So
come
the
on.
Biggest show that was on was Loveline, and it was just number one by far. So he put us in there with the stakes.
K-Rock.
Yeah. K-Rock was ruling the world. There was nobody that could touch him ever, ever, ever. He put us on, and we came up with a roll call through a friend, Adrian Miller. We went out to dinner one night, and we were just kind of, you know, putting our heads together.
Roll call.
Oh, it was a call up and get spit your shit.
Adrian told us about a DJ over in St. Louis where he grew up. They used to do something called a roll call. And it went a little something like this. Who's the teacher with the golden rule?
Mr. Johnson.
What's his name with the number one school? Shouting high, something high. And we're like, oh, that's cool as fuck. Let's expand on that.
Let's flip it.
And so we came up with an old school saying. Well, it was already an old school saying.
Yeah. How did that shit go? Like, for real? It was 3, 2.
Oh, you want us to do it?
Yeah,
do the roll.
Are you going to rap?
Yeah, I will.
You going to do 2 bars?
I'll do it.
So
16.
two bars.
And then I'll come in. Let's go two. Okay. Let's keep it down. Let's
go. Here we go. We're going to do a live roll call. You ready?
Oh, shit.
Here we go. You ready?
3, 2, 1, and.
One for the trouble, 2 for the time. It's the roll call. Who's on that line?
Well, it's Blue right here up on the line. Doing a real big cannabis talk one time.
Man, that sounds fresh, and that may be. But where you coming from, baby? What city?
It's Big Joe from the place to be. I'm born and raised in East San Jose.
Give it up, bro. Give it up, guys.
Roll call.
We still got it, player. These old school 50-year-old fuckers can still get down on the MIC.
Good job,
man. So we did a demo of the roll call.
That's the classic right there.
We did a demo of the roll call with Charlie Wedo. He was one of the jocks on there, and he was like, hey, Charlie, can you call in and do this rap? We'll write the rap for you. Nick will write the rap. So he wrote the rap, and Blue did it, recorded it, and Rick heard it, and he's like, he sat there and looked at it for a second, and he's like, this might do something. He's like, let's do this. Let's go with this. You guys do it. And not too long, once we got on nights, we beat Poor Man.
Yeah. And then give you some history on this. Ready for this? So I just told you how the Bay stole that and made the Flava Boys, right? Now I'm going to tell you what the Bay did to these dudes on that one.
Yeah.
This is what the Bay did to these motherfuckers on that one.
There's a laundry list of what people have stole from
us. But I'm going to give you a big fucking name that stole from these cats on that one. And his name goes by Jonathan, a.k.a. Sway. And Tech.
Yeah.
I love them dudes, and don't get it twisted. They're G's, but they did the roll call as well.
No.
After at KMEL.
I didn't know that.
Oh, what do you mean at nights? I think they called it the roll call, if I'm not mistaken. You know what I'm saying? So I remember, and I love Sway and Tech at nights.
Well, now we're throwing names out there. So Ed and Dre in New York City, Hot 97, they took the roll call from us as well.
And you know what? And it's respectful saying, because guess what? I love saying this. Ready for this? And I would say it right there to their faces. All the stunts I did in the mornings for the doghouse way back in the day, the jackass folks were listening to me do it back then and stole all my ideas and made fucking millions and billions off you guys. And if they're sitting right here, I'm like, ain't that true, motherfucker, or not?
Exactly.
Because everybody told me that was part of your movies, you guys got your shit from the doghouse, and I was the one doing those things. So that's what I heard from firsthand from your team.
All right, so we got to know.
So
that,
my point is, don't be shy. But
in radio, you have to have thick skin, and you got to be prepared to be jacked. And there's nothing new under the sun, and just get over it. Basically.
I tell Blue that once he says, "Oh, such and such," I go, "Dude, it's the best thing. Let them." Good.
I tell him that.
Look at what they're doing. Look at that. I go, "Cool. Now that means let's just keep doing what we're doing."
Yeah, they're listening.
The way I look at it is like we're all chefs in our own way. Okay, you can have the same ingredients, but you prepare it a little different.
Yep.
And what we do is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a different energy about us. Totally different.
I loved coming to LA hearing you guys, dude. So, I tell you guys, I loved it. Yeah. I fucking loved it.
I did too.
I was one of those guys that would come down here. I remember going to be and coming out here and going to the Venice Beach and then banging you guys out. I'm going down there and then like going to buy like Booyah Tribe CDs and shit like that. You know what I mean? DJ Quicks and fucking.
Like, we had to call from our house lines and shit. Yeah. We didn't have cell phones when that shit was popping.
Yeah. So I couldn't call in.
There was no cell phones in there. So we would sit by the phone. Yeah, we would sit by the phone to call that shit up. And we would have, you know, a couple homies at home or in the garage listening to the records. And we'd be breakdancing in the fucking garage. I mean, we're talking about an error.
That's nice.
And then we'd be right there trying to call. And, you know, and finally to the point where our parents had to put a freaking phone in the garage to have us meet it. Because they were like, run in the house and be like, "No, we gotta make the call." You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
and not only that, they changed the game because of the live mixing. Because it's like, wait a minute, how'd they go right into that song? I remember even learning the game of that, like hitting the post of like new music, because you guys kind of created that vibe of like new mixing and new fucking Power 106, and you guys would right. You guys would come out the post, hit the post. Like, I caught that shit because I'm a radio fucking weirdo.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I get those little things, which are bracelets and earrings and nice things on women. Like, I noticed that on radio. I noticed the little things in radio that make somebody dope. And I noticed that about you guys. And noticing, like, early on, too, like, they're doing that with real music, live music. It was just different.
It's a DJ. It's from a DJ standpoint. This is how we do things.
It was rocking that mic live on the air that never happened on the air, only in a club and let alone in New York and shit. It wasn't even happening. It was only up in that backyard barbecue.
So me on the mic and Eric on the turntables, it was just a perfect match. We look at each other. We know what's coming in. We count each other in. We talk. We have hand signals. It's a communication without being in the same room.
Right. Are
we going on in one? No, you're just one asshole.
One, two, three.
Let's just get out of this one.
How does the morning show gig go, and how scared are you to take that?
You know what? The beauty of us coming from Bakersfield, we had no idea how big it was.
Sure.
That was the beauty of it.
I can see that.
We had no idea we went from Market 87 to Market 2. We just thought we went to LA. We didn't know there was market sizes. We didn't know that...
Which means, and just being easy numbers, it means from 100 people listening to you to 1 million people listening to you.
Pretty much.
Bam.
So,
using simple numbers.
Yeah, after doing the night show for eight months, we were doing a night show. We were dominating. We were killing everybody. And he's like, "I want to put you guys in the morning show." He's like,
after 6 months?
Yeah, 8 months.
Ooh,
8 months.
Still, that's not less than a year.
And he goes to Doyle Rose, who's the GM at the time. And
Doyle
he's like,
Rose.
Yeah, he's like, "Doyle." He's like, "I'm going to put these guys."
Redhead, right? Wasn't he?
No.
Doyle was like Doyle.
He was
above Rick, too. Like,
yeah, he was Rick's boss.
Yeah.
He was the GM.
Yeah, he was the fucking man. Yeah. Doyle was like the big.
Yeah, he's his boss.
Him and Rick, like, whoa, yeah.
Yeah, so he's like, "I'm going to put these guys in the morning show." And Doyle looked at him like, "Are you crazy? How am I supposed to sell this?" I remember hearing that. "How am I supposed to sell this?"
And now Doyle and Rick run that whole thing.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, those two dudes, which is crazy. I didn't know that.
So we went to the mornings, and from the time we got there, about 9-10 months, we were in the morning show. You know, And they knew they had something with us.
So Rick says mornings, you guys take it. Does he give you a producer? You guys stick with the same
people?
No,
we had a producer.
Format?
We had a producer that was there already. So like,
who was it?
Stretch Roberts. Okay. Stretch Roberts. So we just call him Stretch. Crazy ass white dude.
You go from Stretch to us. I met Stretch, yeah, Stretch several times. Awesome. Yeah, I know who he is in the game. And then you had said Sketch later on in life too. Crazy ass Sketch.
Sketch was more on the production side. Yeah, he wasn't like a producer like for us.
Right.
But so we went to the morning show and we ended up being we beat Stern. We beat Rick Dees. We beat Kevin and Bean. All the big guys at the time, we beat them all.
Oh, KFI too.
All of them.
Your news leader.
Beat them all. Had no idea how big it was.
I love KFI, by the way.
You know, so and that's you know, we were there in the mornings for like, I don't know, 3 years or something. But then the music started changing. They started the whole, there was a big R&B wave, and there was a lack of music for, especially for the West Coast hip hop stuff. So there was a lull in the music, and the identity of the station got lost. So they went dance for a little while, then they went to the R&B shit.
Yeah.
And it affected the numbers overall. So, and there was also some management, upper management changes that wasn't really working for the station. And until Steve Smith came back in, the station was down. You know, Steve basically, you know, turned the ship around.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, by that time we were moved to afternoons and we were there for, you know, a
when did you guys meet with Big, when Big came in there with the Far Side? Is that how that happened? How did that whole scenario go?
I don't remember how we met.
I think it was the Far Side at the
I think
at
it was
Vinyl.
I remember Big telling
Delicious
me
Vinyl.
He okay. came with, this is how, here we go. This is how I remember hearing the story from Big. He came in there with Far Side, met with you guys, the Baker Boys. The Baker Boys were like, dude, you're cool. We're going to plug you with Rick Cummings. So Big always gives it to you guys too. Like, well,
all that is true. It's just the way it went down was a little bit different.
Yeah, it was
Big,
lot different.
Big was the phone call that came every Friday night. You know, he wanted to be on the radio. He wanted to hear Pistol Grip Pump, which was our
Pistol
song.
Pistol Grip Pump, what the fuck is
all this is a song that the Baker Boys produced, and you know, he would always blow up us and say, I love this song.
Which is a dope Big song.
Can
you guys
play it again? Big play it again. Record, bro. And then, you know, we went out to eat a couple times together. We started growing closer. I started buying things from him that I shouldn't have been buying.
Oh, Big was so game down, right?
Yeah. So, you know, they kind of grew the relationship like that. And eventually, him and Fuzzy asked to do a spot on Friday Night Flavors, which we said yes to because we're giving like that. And that's when Rick Cummings happened to be there that night just hanging out with us in the studio. And he called me in the studio and called me in his office. He's like, who's that guy you have over there? I was like, that's Kurt. That's Big Boy. And I'm like, he's like, can I meet him? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll introduce you. No problem. That's how it happened.
How fucking, man. I mean, I hear it very similar, but like, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot
and which is, it always gets given back to you guys, mm-hmm. which is dope.
Thank you. And well deserved.
Yeah. Well, and it's facts. Like I said, don't hide from who else, because if I was to sit here and see the jackass cats, be like, yo, you know, everybody, these are just the facts of what we heard, unless it's wrong.
Yeah.
Because most cats would be like, no, you're right.
Yeah.
That's the way it went down.
You can't erase it.
You can't erase these histories of what people have done and what you guys have done. That's why I say it's so dope to think of these legacies that you guys done. And speaking of legacies that you guys are doing, I want to talk about this golf benefit June 27th in Downey. I mean, it's for at-risk kids. We're going to come back and talk all about this. It's Cannabis Talk 101 with the Baker Boys. We'll be right back after this.
Keep it locked.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Budtender Awards, created by G4 Live with the vision to be the most ambitious and essential cannabis event ever. This show is designed for people that want to take their business to the next level. Join us at the Las Vegas Beautiful Strip, May 11th through the 14th, 2022, at the all-new Resort World. Snoop Dogg, Travis Barker. Congratulations. Yes. Travis Barker just got married, too, apparently, yes. in Vegas. They're going to be performing all the way live together for the first time. If you don't go,
you don't grow.
And we're all going to be there. We're here with the Baker Boys. We just were talking before we went to break about this beautiful, legendary things that they're doing. And one of the things I just like about people in general is when we give back. And one thing that you just heard Nick say is they've always been giving back with Fuzzy and Big. That's why they let them get on. And for those who don't know, Fuzzy's known as the connector now. He's fucking connected with every major artist you could imagine, folks. And Big Boy is Big Boy. And if you don't know who he is, just type in B-I-G-B-O-Y. And these are the type of guys that came from these guys, as well as Fuzzy. Fuzzy's a very big influential character in this game, as you guys are influential characters in this game, which is dope.
Yep.
But the thing that I love best about your evolution
is what you're doing now, which is helping risk youth. And now we have a big golf benefit going down June 27th in Downey. You don't ever have to do anything like this. Nobody does. Let's just face it. You
know, no, but it's a good cause.
But where does this come from and what's this all about?
A friend of ours that actually was connected to our brother Frank with the record pool with Cali Kings had hit us up about it. And he said, hey, you guys want to do a golf tournament? He said, it'll be good for Downey at-risk youth. And we're like, yeah, absolutely. Let's
I'm
do something.
I'm from Downey, so I will be there.
Okay.
I'm originally from Downey, so I got
to
be there.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Yeah, you have to be there.
Well, shit, yeah. This is right up my alley. Yeah.
So we're looking for golfers. We're looking for sponsors, people to be involved with it, the whole thing, the whole situation.
Donations.
Yeah, yeah. Donations. It's all for Southeast Community Foundation. And so you guys can get more information. Hit us up on our Instagram or whatever. Also, there's a email is where I think it's BakerBoysGolfBenefit@gmail.com.
Nice.
Also, 562-200-1164 is the number. 562-200-1164, as well as Baker Boys Golf Benefit, which is BakerBoyz. Everything else is the same.
It's at the Real Hondo Golf Club, guys. And that's, you know what I mean, real important to know. Like, man, for me, I appreciate you guys getting involved in that because I'm originally from that area, you know, and as much as people don't know, that's the melting pot of everywhere. Like, you're surrounded by Linwood, Compton, Southgate, Downey, you know, Norwalk, Paramount. It's just that's a melting pot, you know, for
the hood.
For the hood.
Yeah.
It's words, a melting pot for everything that comes. And that goes for imports and exports, folks. It's a melting
so
pot.
So much that I have Imperial tattooed on my arm.
I never realized how big Imperial Highway was on the streets.
Pretty big highway.
Yeah, it's a pretty big highway.
I mean, Downey does hold it down on all aspects of what Downey does, which is funny for people listening. Downey is one of those towns and cities that, like, does more than it's just a city from all sides of politics.
A lot of good,
life.
Fun stuff there.
It's just a crazy area. Like, there's a lot of things in Downey that are real, real shit that, like, can happen all over the world.
We're trying to make it a little bit better.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm with that.
But
yeah,
no,
yeah,
and you guys are helping it. So this is dope. So folks want to get involved with that, get involved with that. I love that you guys are doing that there. You mentioned about producing music, and we talked about some of those songs. Are you guys still producing? Because look at the bangers you guys have done.
Man.
I mean, it's not like you guys are some one-hit random. Why, you guys got big hits.
Oh, we have one big hit. Okay, well, just a great pump. Okay,
yeah, it was one big hit.
Classic.
But you guys have worked with other good big artists.
Yes, of course. You know, it's just not done. We're not done.
You know what's crazy though? I'll tell you one thing that, like, you know, one big hit right this second. Do you guys have the rights to that still?
We're looking into that.
Okay,
because there's a time limit. Of where they can own certain things.
Yeah,
and
you
all
talked
that.
To David Salas about that? Because, you know, David Salas, you remember David?
No.
I don't think so.
David Salas is Rudy Salas' son.
Okay.
Rudy Salas is Tierra.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys remember Rudy?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So David is doing, he's going back right now, and he's fighting for everybody's his rights. I'll get you, I'll get you with him.
Yeah, please.
But once you do get with him, that's when you go back to, like, now Instagram, and you get everybody doing one of those pistol grip, and we get it viral again on the thing with Biggs and everybody else to push
big.
The shit out of it, and then it starts a new trend, and then you get to all your paper again on that.
That's what happens.
Yes. So I'm just Thank you. Looking at that. I mean, that might be something that David could help you guys with, and it'll be fun.
Absolutely. Do that, and folks, you guys got to watch this Twitch show, because I've been seeing it on the Twitch show, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys pick a topic, talk about it, say a few thoughts on it. And give it, and I forgot to tell you what I've seen. Yeah. I love, actually.
Oh man, thank you. It's basically behind.
We actually
got to
do some shit like this. To be honest with you,
it's behind the scenes radio show, live. Yeah. So, like, if you were a fly on the wall, is what you would see at a radio station. Because for the most part, you don't see it. You don't see everything that happens behind the scenes.
It's one way.
What we're talking about, what we're arguing about. What I'm telling them, you can't say that, this and that. You know, checking each other on everything.
And we got a chat room in there, so the audience gets to choose what we talk about.
Yeah, so we'll give them two topics, two or three topics
and
for
and you just watch it right here and do the same thing.
Yeah.
You mind if we jack you guys on that?
As long as you
do
give us credit.
Do what you got to do, man.
Give us credit.
No. Yeah, no,
better
it's crazy, though.
You all should come over here and fuck
we
with us.
We should do it here with
together.
Us. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's start and be like, hey, can you guys show us how to do it? Because I want to do it. And then if you like how we do it, go watch theirs, too.
I'm saying the chat could be right there, and you could be talking, and you could be, you know, going back and forth.
Or even on that, whatever. We got the monitors all
over. Yeah.
You know what's crazy is because we look at that, we can't do the actual show because it has to air first on iHeart.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Right? But we could do all the background shit just like you guys
are doing. You guys are doing, that's what I'm saying. We could do that. That's why I said we could do what they do.
No, I totally, yeah. And it's funny when you said that, though, the first thing that came to my mind is like, that's what historically has happened and with you guys is that you guys have these brilliant ideas and then you guys are either blessed the other folks to get to those levels and then one, you've been blessed yourself to be able to do those things, and that's fantastic.
You know, it's about continuing to innovate and make ourselves better. We're always trying to better ourselves and be the best at what we can do here while we're still here. Mm-hmm. You know, work at a high level, respectfully do what we do best, and we're still, like I said, learning.
Talk about where I want you to hurt your elbow and patting your guys' selves, but pat each other because I want to hear some of the names of the people. And I'm only saying this because I would love somebody to ask me this randomly, and you guys will be able to give good answers, which is give me some of those names that you guys helped as interns that are just fucking killing it now. Like you said, the fuzzies and the big, right? Give me some more of those. And I already can think of a couple that I know that you guys have done, but I don't even want to. If you don't say those, then I'll be like, oh, what about this one? What about? Because you guys got cats that are working with Mariah Carey.
I forget.
You guys got, you know, and you guys. Like,
well, we don't keep, you know. We
I know you
don't
but there's cats
like that
just.
He don't, he's
you
like,
guys have had people come to you going, if it wasn't for you, I would never have gotten my this. I mean, right. We've all have that have been in the game for a long time. But
and
give me some of those.
I don't
like,
want to claim anybody.
No,
spy
I know what you're saying. No, but
never,
you know.
So people that we've worked with that have gone on to do great things. Carolina Bermudez,
yeah.
Out of New York. She's on the radio in New York right now.
We met her in Miami.
Yeah, she was not on the radio, but we pulled her into the radio station. Eric did.
I was at the Miami Billboard Awards, Latin Billboard Awards. She was there handing pamphlets out. And I started talking to her, and then, you know, I started talking to her. I was like, wow, you really have a really good personality. Have you done radio before? And she's like, I'm going to school for that right now, communications at the college over here in Miami. I was like, well, come see us. We're looking for an intern. Come through. And we had her be our intern
great
for a while.
When you see the talent like that, it's so dope, right?
Yeah, so I brought her in, and, you know, she was with us for like 3 or 4 months. You know, they had a limit on how long the interns could stay, so she had to go after that. But she entered a contest on the other station, which was the pop station. She did want to work with us at a time, but that didn't happen. But anyway, so the pop station, she entered the contest, ended up winning and being the co-host. So she became a co-host for the pop radio show, which was probably the best
in Miami.
Yeah, for the in the same building because it was run by Clear Channel, which became Our Heart later.
And this was you guys were working in Miami.
Yeah, this is we were in Miami. Yeah, so she became the sidekick for that morning show, done well, and they discovered her in New York. They brought her to New York. She went to KTU. She was working with Elvis Duran.
Oh, yeah. Elvis Duran's big.
So she was working with Elvis.
Elvis Duran's as big as it gets.
Yeah.
And Elvis, Ryan Seacrest is the big boys. He's as big as it gets.
Yeah. So she was there for many years. And also she did like co-hosting on, what's the name of that show that Whoopi Goldberg's on? I forget.
The View?
She was on The View a couple times. She's done TV.
That's fantastic.
She's gone on to do great things as far as that goes.
Isn't that the best?
As far as the radio. So,
but yeah, we're still friends.
And she's by far been the most grateful person of everybody that we've opened door for.
Yeah, you don't find that very often.
She is
never
different.
When you go to New York and you run into those radio people, run into my girl Ness Nitty, because I did the same thing for Ness Nitty.
Oh, okay.
That's on Hot 97. And she's calling Kaepernick's right hand, and she's so funny because she came to my spot in Santa Clarita when I'm out here. She's working radio in the Bay. She's depressed. Right. She got leg, whatever. I go, Ness, you are dope. Yeah. And Felly was with me too. Felly helped pick her up too.
Okay.
We had her. We all met the. We've seen people when they're just down and out, lost their gig.
That's
and
what radio does.
You know what I mean, right? So I got her when she was at her. I'm gonna just quit. I'm gonna be a fucking IT. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm like, girl, but you're
who was it? That you
her
brought
name's
up?
Ness Nitty. She does middays at fucking Hot 97.
Yeah, she's syndicated too, right?
Yeah. She's syndicated. She's on MTV. She's the shit. Yeah. She's huge now. But same concept. When you see a girl like that, you're like, oh, my point is, I love that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Another brother of ours who came up with us, his name is J-Love. And
J-Love in Vegas now?
No,
that's a different J-Love.
J-Love,
Push and Shove, the John Silver Halterman. Club. John Halterman, who is now the president of Dash Radio.
Mm-hmm.
He came
in. He worked with Ski.
He worked with
DJ Ski. Ski's still
of course,
there, right?
Ski owns it. That's the company. Skis.
Yeah, so J-Love came to us via Big Boy, as a matter of fact. he had Star Car Stereo stuff. His brother was into amps, and worked for a company. He's like, I'll set you up. Just bring me your car, and I'll put a sound
system. I'll put a nice Zeus in there, our Sankyung. He gave me knockoff.
15s, 18s. I don't know what he put in my fucking my Cadillac or whatever I had at the time, and he just gave me a booming sound system, and we started off. And then he started with us at Power 106 in like 1998. He was the first one to help us record our shows onto a computer.
Yeah.
He brought his computer up. This was like way before anybody was doing any of this digital shit. He's like, you got to record it on computer now.
Yeah, he had a program called Creamware that we had never heard of before. So he got us into really digital. Even more technical.
Digital side, yeah.
Digital side. Yeah, so he really showed us a lot of stuff on the digital side.
So he was our friend, been our friend, and then...
And still our friend.
He's still a brother now, but he moved in with us to San Francisco to become our producer. Then he went with us to
Miami,
became a producer, stayed there many years, produced for other people as well after we left. And then now, you know, the president of Dash Radio. So, you know, we've just been so blessed to have so many good people around us that help us get to this level. As, you know, as much as we say it's just only us, there's a handful of brothers that have been there behind the scenes that would support us. But, you know, me and
I mean, yeah, the talent that you guys have is what did it. But you guys have always had a team. It always takes a team, just like with Blue
it
and I.
It takes a village, team, man. Yeah,
you know, we can't just be talking on these mics without everybody doing
their job,
helping something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just like my mic, my headphones not working at the beginning. It's like, okay, who didn't do that? But it's great. And it's always great to see that because you guys have had such a great run with it and all this great stuff. And did you guys smoke weed back in the day, too?
Not me. I never have.
Never.
Nick was the guy.
Nick was the smoker.
He said, weed don't bother me.
Yeah.
No, listen. You know, we started working with Kid Frost and
shout out
you know,
to Kid Frost,
all the rappers back then, and we even met B-Real early on, and we worked with B-Real in Cypress Hill and doing remixes and stuff, but we never smoked around them or with them because we were just so focused on doing what we were supposed to be doing.
He said around or with them.
No.
Didn't say he didn't smoke.
I was just surprised at the word we because I never partook in anything.
No, he never partook in anything. But I also said no because we're in the studio and they're smoking the fuck out, you know. But I said no because, number one, respect for my brother and what we were trying to accomplish.
Right.
I was a drinker. I won't deny that, but... the cannabis was a no until 1997 when we got moved to Afternoon Drive and there was a lot of stress that was lifted off of me. Frank V was a big smoker. And I finally started smoking a blunt with my brother Frank. And from that point forward, I was like, okay, I'm in.
Oh, we're going to get to the high five and hear all about that. But before we do, Nick, I want you to continue talking and tell me about this beautiful candle company that you started with your wife.
Yeah, man.
House of
Super important.
Sueño. The House of Dreams. So in 2020, we started this candle company. Actually, it started as a date. My wife wanted to learn how to make candles, so I took her on a date over here somewhere in Los Angeles. And
was it in San Pedro?
San Pedro, thank you.
I know where his dates are.
San Pedro.
Yeah.
Wait, hey, are you still chaperoning him?
I'm just saying. No, I'm not, thankfully.
You're talking about in the...
unsee those things, you know what I mean?
Is he okay? Do I need to pay the bill now?
Yeah, baby.
So she fell in love, and we started thinking, like, you know, can we do this? What is it going to take to actually do this? And so we bought another candle-making kit, and then from that point forward, we started doing research, and we're like, hey, let's do this. But we started pouring them under the full moon, so you get the energy from the full moon infused into the candle, and then we adorn them with crystals, either amethyst or citrine, black tourmaline, all of these different stones that come from Mother Earth have healing values to them. So,
So funny, dog. I got two stones in my pocket right now that my older daughter just gave me from the birthday party that she was at.
Oh, yeah?
Dad, dog, look, I'm about to pull them out of my pocket.
He needs to turn them into candles and give them back to her.
Dad, you need to keep these on you for blah, blah, blah. And, you know, when your kids are 22 now and they're giving you game.
I'm right.
Like, my daughter's spitting game at me now, right? Like,
yeah.
She's 22 and she was psychoanalyzing me and all. She got deep on me this past weekend. And found some shit out about me. Where I was like, we found some stuff out about me. Look at these. I got these two crystals in my pocket right
now. And right here.
You got yours. Look at
this. You got some on you.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what's crazy is my wife's been fucking with these things recently too, bro. I've got them all around the house right now. I got these tall
I have
ones
these in my pocket. I'm to the point where I'm putting them in my pocket. Why not?
Right. Bumps and my hairs are sticking up.
Oh,
what's
this
going
is a sign.
On?
Listen to your wife.
Well,
man.
My theory is if it doesn't work, I ain't lost nothing. If it does, I got crystals in my pocket and I got good energy.
Right.
There you go.
I mean, I can only win. I look at that like Jesus too. If he ain't real, why I didn't lose anything.
Yep.
Praise the Lord.
So that's what we do, man. We hand pour these beautiful candles under the full moon, go to the website houseofsueño.com and check out the handmade gifts that my wife is making in the kitchen
right
now.
That's dope.
And we have a discount code?
Yeah, I can give you a discount code by the end of the show. But we are in farmers markets now on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Sunday.
And that's in Brentwood on Sunday, and farmers markets on
Tuesday. Excuse me, Brentwood's kind of joking. I'm going to the Brentwood one.
What is it? Do they kick you out too, or can you actually go in there? Do you have to take a blower with you? That they let you in, or how do they let you in there?
You sound like you've had a bad experience in Brentwood.
Haven't we all?
And you have. He Brentwood has PD. A bad experience.
Keep your crystals close by.
Keep my crystals. See, that was pre crystal, bro.
Okay. Now I go with crystals.
Now you're
crystals
good. Go back crystal. Now. You're straight.
Yeah. You got to release that. You got to resell it. And we sell smudge. Stick, sage, and other things.
Different crystal there.
It's beautiful stuff, so yeah. Check it out.
I'm just saying, Brentwood's a nice area, which is good to go sell things.
Yeah. It's a great area to sell handmade items Anything. And gifts that we do.
If you can get in there to sell, it's
Let's
a great area.
Let's get into this high five.
We got in, and we're Mexican, so can you.
That's what I mean, exactly. Well, go check out the website there. It's now time for the high five with these two brothers. You heard me say it at the beginning. I'm going to say it at the end. I'm a fan.
Yes,
high
me
five
too,
with
man.
The Baker Boys. Baker Eric Boys. And Nick B. We'll start with Eric. You'll answer the question. Nick, you'll answer the same question right after him. How old were you the first time you smoked cannabis, and where'd you get it from, Eric?
I haven't smoked before.
Ever.
That's fun.
Never.
Ever.
Never.
Never, ever.
Never,
I
ever.
I love that.
I don't drink or smoke.
Have you drank?
No.
Never had a drink?
Never been drunk in my life.
Man.
Dog, you asked for this?
Never. Only, how
my,
strong
my mom,
that is?
My mom, until she died,
wow.
never drank.
I have no smoked. Interest in it. You know,
wow. I ain't mad at that. What about you, Nick? The fucking bad apple of the group,
bro.
Man, you gonna fucking drop the ball, huh?
What about Nick, the one that did more bumps than a fucking than a fucking mall?
Everything I haven't done, he has.
Of course,
yeah, he's kept.
This is my life.
Up,
that is your life. You live yours. I live mine.
He's got crystals that go other places.
And I'm not talking about a lab.
Those are wine stoppers. Not what you're saying.
They double. Double purpose. Go ahead.
Just be careful, okay? Anyway.
Hey, here's your straw.
I'm gonna blow it up, man, right here. My man, Sidney Perry, I would say 12 or 13 years old was the first time.
He got drunk.
No, I smoked.
Oh, smoked.
12 or 13,
I got
okay.
drunk first time. You didn't ask about drinking.
Yeah, we're talking about the smoking. 12 or 13, who gave it to you?
Sidney Perry.
DJ That's Bakersfield, huh?
Yep. That's my brother right there.
Oh. Still a good brother of ours.
He taught us a lot about DJing.
Yeah, totally.
He brought the K-Day Mixmaster.
He introduced us to Tony and Julio.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Julio G?
Via cassette tapes.
And marijuana. Yeah. And Mary Jane. Yeah. That's my brother.
It's funny how those old school dudes like that are just the best, right? Yeah. The Julio G's and all those. And
OGs.
All of those dudes, when you still see them, they're still just like us meeting each other. Like, for folks that don't realize, we have so much past history, but we've never really, just like with P-Funk too.
Yeah.
I say the same thing with Funk. I'm like, Funk, we're so tight together and we see each other. We're so cool. Like, I feel so cool and tight to you. I have more stories with your brother than you guys.
Right.
Right. But yet, we all know each other. I'm even asking P-Funk before, like, I don't know if this is my insecurities kicking in, Funk, but they do know me, right? And he goes, no, Joe, of course like, they do. But I'm going, well, dog, I don't want to be like too cocky and act like they should. Because why? Because that's where my fanboy comes out. Like, because I'm a fan of theirs. And I don't know if they're fucking a fan of mine, but I know that I'm a fan of theirs. And I think they should be because we did the same things. Like, but I didn't know. So my point is, it's just
the answer
so
was
dope
no,
to
Joe.
Sit down with you guys.
We never heard of Joe Grado. We never heard of you.
They actually said, when I seen him, they go, can you get me a water?
Hey, where's the hot sauce?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, that's what Kel did to me, too.
So you guys, you did know who Blue was, though. You knew who I was, right?
Of course. Imperial Blue, of course.
Get it with number two.
Question number two of the high five, man. What is your favorite way to use or smoke cannabis
well,
if
Eric
you
doesn't
did?
Have one. Yeah.
If Eric
you did.
I would give it to my brother.
Yes!
That's my favorite way to smoke.
Best way. I love that answer.
Okay.
It sounds like Big U. It sounds like a Big U answer.
Yeah, Big U said, he said, favorite way to use it, sell it.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I said, yes!
I'll sell it in Brentwood. Sell it in Brentwood. There we go.
Now you're thinking. What
sell
about you,
it,
Nick?
So I would say edibles, joints, and man, I really, when I'm putting this out there, I want one of those vaporizers. Man.
Oh, we got
electric
you.
Vaporizers.
Yeah,
I just got this one from Rove. Did you see the one I got from Rove?
No, he means a vapor like that.
But
like
look at this 420
like
one.
Desktop yeah, motherfucker. I know what
this
you want.
This doesn't
yeah,
come
yeah,
out
yeah,
until 420 for my birthday. They sent me this. And look at this.
Dope.
It says 419, and then you hit it, it says 420.
That's what's
See that little, see that cutty right there? You see that cutty over there? over there where everybody's sitting down at.
Yeah, that's
going to be the Baker Boy spot right there. We're going to have a whole show set
up. You got to do your show right there.
We're doing the show. You know what I'm saying? We'll put the whole shit on.
Where do we sleep, though?
That's a local
spot. Right here on my lap, mijo.
We got a whole other story.
Bien pa'ca.
We got a whole other story above us, dog. It's all. We have apartments upstairs for each one of our.
Question number three of the high five with the Baker Boys, Eric and Nick V. Oh, I love these guys. Craziest place you ever used cannabis or smoke? Eric, where's the craziest place you ever seen Nick smoke or use it? Let alone when Nick will come out with his.
Craziest place where
I'm ready.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I forgot.
Okay, loose lips don't sink shit. Right? That. Go ahead, Nick.
Nick, what up, bro?
You ready for this? As I was working at Power 106, they commissioned some DJs to go and play for grad night
at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, woo, man.
That was me.
Nick V was smoking Mickey out.
How fun were those? I used to love going to those.
So much fun. They just went crazy. The kids went crazy.
And they still do. Till this day. I mean, they just pop. I used to love going to those.
Did you guys get high with kids?
No. No. I never did that. Because I was sober by the time I went to Power. So when I was going there with Power, I never got high. But before I went to Power, I was getting high a lot.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in San Francisco, don't get it twisted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Question number four of the high five. What is your go-to munchie after you get high, Eric?
I don't have to be high to have a munchie.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, first of all. So my
you look like a chicharrón.
Yeah, my go-to munchies are probably like Reese's. I fuck with Reese's or Goobers or.
Yeah. Goobers.
Oh, you like a stoner then?
Japanese Kit Kats.
Ooh, strawberry Kit Kats.
Big would always bring those back.
Green tea,
when we go
bro.
There.
Green tea.
Nice.
Oh, I remember the strawberry ones when he came back with those ones. Yeah. Those were fire.
Yeah, the green tea ones are cracking.
I used to love going to Japan and all those guys up there. It was funny, too, because Power 106 was heard in Japan, so I know the Baker Boys were fucking legends in Japan.
Man.
So because when I went to Japan, I traveled, and this was after they were at Power, so you guys did, I'm sure, the Japan tours.
Nick did it.
You did it?
Nick did it. I didn't go.
Eric V refused to go.
I went with Big E-Man, and Exhibit, and dude, we fucking went all over, dog. We went on trains, planes, and automobiles.
It's amazing, right?
I would love that with my partner, too.
Yeah.
It would have been. It was fun. Go ahead. What about you, though, Nick? What's the go-to munchies?
Hey, you a fool.
You're a good one.
Everybody trying to pass that one up.
I know.
Like,
I
don't let him go.
So
he got me back for the lap comment. I see what he's doing.
The munchies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my God. Fun. I don't know. Chips, ice cream, you know, anything that's bad for you.
Yeah.
What kind of chips? What kind of ice cream?
I mean, gosh, the jalapeno, the kettle jalapeno chips.
Oh, yeah, kettle. See that? Now, that's my shit right there. That's where I need to hear that.
Or hummus. I like hummus and pita. Yes.
Hummus with them kettle chips?
Ooh.
I put him on game on those. I bring those in, so I bring in hummus all the time.
I'm over here like...
hummus galore.
Joe's trying to catch me to gain weight and shit. And this, I'm always trying to lose. He's over here like, damn. And then he starts losing all the weight and shit.
I'm gaining over 100 pounds, dude.
Well, congratulations. What are you eating?
It's just
meth.
Yeah. It's a crank burger.
Is it meth expensive?
Crank burger that you can buy on the corner here.
On the way out of town. Just pick one up.
Right here on the corner of Stanton
True
and fucking yeah.
Stanton.
Question number four. Go ahead.
No. It's question number five. If you could smoke cannabis with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Wow.
And now, Eric.
I will hypothetically answer this question.
Yeah,
so
if you could.
Probably, I would have to thank James Brown.
Ooh.
Bitch.
The godfather of soul. You know what I mean?
James Brown, bitch.
Just to see where he's would go. See if he would be like violent or cool.
Where is
this going? Like, is he going to tell me to play the drums right or not? You know, things like that. So. I probably James Brown if I hypothetically smoked.
Sure.
James Brown's like one of those Joe Jackson dudes.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to
do. You just don't know what you're going to get.
It's going to happen.
You know what I mean?
You don't know which side you're going to get.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I like that. You know, I don't think we ever had a Rick James comment. I think that's the first Rick James. Right?
No, he said James Brown.
James Brown. Excuse me. I think the first James Brown. And
but
Rick James.
James yeah.
But
Rick
fuck,
James,
I'm saying no,
Rick James is a hell of a motherfucking drug, though.
Yeah, exactly.
James Brown, too, though. Dancing, going crazy. What about you, Nick?
Oh, man. Steve Jobs.
Ooh, that's a good one, Nick B.
Why?
Pick his brain.
He said, why not?
And once we get into the cannabis, we could probably do some LSD together.
Yeah, there you go.
It's an entryway for us.
He is.
For sure.
And not only that, just think about what he's done with that company, Apple, for God's sake. How he's
changed the world.
Literally. I mean, as I got my first Apple Watch, as I got my, you know, for my birthday recently.
Wow.
I barely got an Apple Watch. My wife's had them for years, and then, it's your 50th birthday. Why don't you want to get an Apple Watch? I'm like, I don't know. Do I? It's the fucking best.
best thing I ever got is the crazy point is like why I'm saying that.
Yeah. Good.
I was never like, oh, why? Because when I get a text, I can just look at my wrist. I don't have to pull my phone out. When I see a call, I could just go like this. I never knew what a benefit having that stupid watch was.
So next, the next one is going to be where it's just infused into your arm, if you're okay with that.
Here we go.
Yeah, no, I'm
is that what you're running? Are you that one? Are you that guy?
Here we go.
You're the fucking conspiracy
Nick. This is the entryway.
Here we go. No,
you're already happy with it on your wrist. Why not just make it?
I'll get the fucking eyeball. Give me the fake eye. I'll go the whole Nick, nine. I'm ready.
They already put one in my neck.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get you that brain cube.
I'm down for that too. Elon Here's Musk. The thing: when people go, "Oh, aren't you afraid of what
Wait
this?"
A second.
I go,
"You've been vaccinated,
afraid.
Right? You already got one."
There you go. You
oh, from that, he's like, "I'm not getting nothing." The funny thing is, Nick, I don't even like. I'm so like, whatever. I'm down. I'm down
if
to try. Like,
tell
oh,
me it's cool.
I'm not
it's
afraid
cool,
to say
huh?
something. They're listening. Okay, cool. Listen to me. Waste your time.
Yeah.
Put this on. Okay, I'll try it. Fuck it. Whatever. I'm not doing nothing wrong. I'm living so. Right, I can't go left.
You know? Let's go, man.
Nice.
Well, anything else we finished and we forgot about the Baker Boys? I mean, you guys got your show. First of all, you people should check that out. Their daily shit, of course, on their IG at the Baker Boys and on Twitch, the Baker Boys.
Oh yeah, yeah, that TikTok, man. We try to get over 1,000 followers.
Yeah, please,
let's push.
We just started it back up. Nick turned it off because he was fearful
of China.
He was afraid of China collecting data.
Of
and
course,
information,
he is. That's why he asked me about the shot thing.
You know
of course,
what I mean?
he just crossed all the lines if I know where he's
so
at.
So now that he's crossed the hill, China's of following course. Us thing, we're good now. So we started it.
That
makes sense of why he patted me down when I first met him.
There
he goes. He goes, hey, Joe Grande, right? Okay, turn around. And then I'm like, what the
make
fuck?
Make sure there's no
on?
Wires on you, bro.
Hey, Nick, can you pat me down afterwards?
Not going to happen, man.
He goes, just
man,
Joe. Just Joe.
Just
the stars.
The golf tournament, man. Where's the golf tournament?
June 27th, Rio Hondo Golf Course. If you want more information, BakerBoysGolfBenefit@gmail.com.
And go to go to Cannabis Talk 101 because we're going to get that up on our site too. So it's real easy to find. And make sure you check them out, guys. And thank you guys so much for joining the show. You guys truly are fucking legends in the radio business, man. And thank you guys for
I
want to
do shit
with
you guys, man. Seriously.
Yeah, seriously. Like, low-key, like, we need to bite some shit off you guys.
We're still here.
No, I just, you know what I honestly think, too, though? Because, I mean, it may be too many Latins, but four Latins is better than two.
Hey, yeah. I ain't lying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So let's have a soccer team. Let's get a couple more in here. We get a couple girls. So.
Yeah.
There we go. P-Funk, Daniel.
We get a couple girls.
I said
kids, too.
He has tits.
I love P-Funk.
Well, there it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101. And remember this, if no one else loves you, we do.
Hey.
Woo-woo. Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.